You cannot just stop, Emily. Charlotte half chided, half laughed, as she stumbled into the back of her taller sister. There is neither the room nor the time for stopping. It had become the sister's ritual in recent weeks, this circular walk about the dining room table, talking out their ideas, spinning them into thin air until they could see the words forming over their heads, lit by firelight and shaped by smoke. It was not a grand dining room. If anything, it was rather cramped, almost entirely filled with the pretty table and a rather worn black sofa. Charlotte had chosen the wallpaper, in dusky shades of pink and grey, as modest and muted as the plumage of a pigeon. On the wall hung a portrait of Lord Horatio Nelson, national hero and military genius, still adored in the parsonage 40 years after his glorious death in battle. Charlotte liked to think of him looking down his splendid nose at them, keeping watch on all their comings and goings. She found it comforting. I had a thought, Charlotte. Emily turned slightly to look at her sister over her shoulder with her enviable grey-blue eyes. Yes, and a good one too. So good that I must write it down at once before it escapes me. Move. Charlotte watched in horror as Emily scribbled her nib furiously on a sheet of blotting paper, placed directly on the polished surface of the table. Really, Emily, she said, have you not vandalized this table enough? Poor Aunt Branwell will be turning in her grave if she could see how easily you disregard half a lifetime's worth of beeswax and elbow grease. Charlotte, it is many years since the E incident, and I was only a child, Emily replied, obligingly moving the blotting paper onto her writing slope, nevertheless. Charlotte watched as her sister's thumb searched out the initial, scratched crudely into the surface with a fruit knife many years ago, giving it a rub as if for good luck. Some might say that carving my initial into the table was a form of ornamentation. Aunt Branwell wouldn't, Anne said mildly, not looking up from the newspaper that she was engrossed in. Do you remember, Charlotte? Emily did her best to hide the transgression by refusing to move her hand for an entire morning. How Aunt Branwell howled when she saw what she had done. I seem to recall that Papa was quite impressed with me, Emily muttered, already half lost to her writing. We may count ourselves most fortunate that we have a father so devoted to our enlightenment that a scratched tabletop is not nearly so important to him as his daughter learning to make her letters, Charlotte said fondly. Another papa would have beaten you soundly, as our aunt surely would have liked to, don't you think, Anne? Desperate for distraction, Charlotte did her best to catch Anne's eye, but her youngest sister was not to be moved from her reading. With only Anne's little dog, Flossie, joining in the parade, Charlotte, sighing heavily, walked on alone, jealously observing as Emily scored her letters into her paper with the same furious energy and impatience with which she greeted much of life. If only Charlotte could find the same kind of inspiration to turn her mind away from the great unhappiness that preoccupied it. If only she could tempt her sisters to distract her with talk. She should be content, happy even, for it had been many years since all of them lived under the same beloved roof. The fire burnt merrily in the grate, casting a warm, dancing light on the walls. The snug and slightly smoky little room, illuminated only a little further by the single oil lamp. Outside, the rain came hard, flung against the rectory windows like handfuls of pebbles. Below them, Haworth huddled against the cruel wind. It was a typical Yorkshire summer. Nothing comes this evening. Charlotte sighed in frustration, stopping to look at the crowd of gravestones that tumbled headlong down the hillside towards the church and town beyond, as if the dead were in a hurry to return home. My head is as empty as a blank page, and just as useless. There is far too much feeling getting in the way of thinking. To even compose two good lines seems impossible to me. Then perhaps you should try thinking in feelings, Emily said, unhelpfully, as the words poured from the nib of her quill, in the chaotic and ink-spattered scrawl that drove neat Charlotte to despair. Page after effortless page of jealously guarded verse filled Emily's notebooks.